Amen. You may be seated. We've come to our scripture reading. If you'd like to take your pew Bibles and open up to page 855, we're going to be reading from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word this morning. Thank you so much, choir, for that beautiful prayer that was sung. God bless you in all of that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of James, chapter 3. The book of James, chapter 3. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of wisdom. You know, James in chapter 1 tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can just go to God and He will generously pour it out and pour it over us. Now, His wisdom is not the kind of a wisdom that the world gives. Okay? His wisdom is that which is spiritual and which really helps to develop and to build our soul and, in fact, the body of Christ. But there is an awful lot of stress anymore placed upon intelligence. And I want you to understand that intelligence is not necessarily wisdom. You can have a tremendous amount of intelligence, consider yourself better than other people, and yet have no wisdom. The wisdom that God wants us to have is a wisdom that prepares us for our journey to glory, but then also shares with others His wisdom so that they as well can be more prepared for their journey to glory. There's going to come a day, folks, when the trumpet of God is going to sound. There's going to come a day when the dead in Christ will hear that trumpet and spring forth from the grave. There's going to come a day when you and I will rise up together with those who have been resurrected, and we will go to be in the presence of the Lord. And until that day comes, the development of wisdom in our lives is vital and very, very important. There are six things that I wanted to share with you out of this particular passage today regarding wisdom. Is it of man or is it of God, if you will? I want to share with you the indicator, the infection, the intruder, the instigators, the increase, and then the inspiration. And so as we look at this, I want you to look inside as I am. look inside of ourselves and fairly and honestly and honorably judge where our wisdom is coming from. Are we wise in our own eyes or in the eyes of the world, or are we wise by God's standards? And James is pointing out here the type of wisdom that he wants us to have. Let's look at it. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 13, this is where the indicator comes from. It says this, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." All right? The indicator of wisdom is a gentleness of spirit and a wisdom that is genuinely from God. You know, I know a lot of smart people, really intelligent people, who have absolutely no spiritual wisdom whatsoever. In fact, I've got a family of them, not Joyce and my children. I'm talking about the extended family. All right? The Sirigliano side of, I better clarify that, the Sirigliano side of the family, who are very intelligent people, but very void of spiritual wisdom. They have this whole mindset of I've got to get all for me that I can possibly get, and not really concerned or inspired by gaining spiritual wisdom. And so as James is talking about this subject, he brings out in that 13th verse, he says, look, who among you is wise? Who is it among your assembly is wise? And then he says, then show it by good behavior. You know, falling in to the same old sinful patterns and behaviors is not wisdom. When wisdom comes, we move away from, please excuse this, stupid activities to becoming more like Christ. And as we read about Christ, we find that we're not going to be enslaved by patterns or habits or any of those things that are offensive to God. But as wisdom comes from God's hand, we're going to have good behavior in our lives that honors Him. And in fact, it becomes an insult to us spiritually, personally, if we don't honor Him. And we begin to step back and we say these words, how could I have done that thing? How could I, knowing that sinful behavior hurts Christ? We who are parents understand the pain that comes when our children walk away from our standards and walk away from our beliefs, who walk away from our teachings. We understand the pain that comes with that. And you know, folks, it's that kind of pain that God experiences as well when His children don't honor his sacrifice. That hurts the heart of God. He weeps over our waywardness. Genuine wisdom says we're going to have good behavior that honors God and blesses him. Secondly, I want you to notice the infection. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. In other words, if those things are inside of you, deal with it. Don't deny it. Don't try to justify bitterness and that evil jealousy. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to excuse it and blame everybody else for it and thereby lie to God. Just deal with the infection and get it out of there. Take care of that kind of thing. It's not very wise to live a life that is filled with bitterness. That's not wise at all. There's no wisdom there. Deal with the bitterness that's on the inside of the heart. Get it cleansed. Get it rooted out so that it doesn't hinder you. And then on the other hand, if that's what's inside of you, don't lie to God and say, oh, I'm not bitter or I'm not jealous. If that's what's inside, be honest with God because he knows it anyhow. You see, bitterness destroys the individual who has the infection. Doesn't do anything to the person that you're bitter at or against. You don't change them. Confess your sin. Take care of it. Get it cleansed. That infection needs to be pulled out of there. That's wise. It's not wise to deny it before God. Because he knows the heart even better than the one in whom the heart is beating. Number three, I want you to notice the intruder. Look at verse 15. He's talking about, again, this wisdom and selfish ambition that's in the heart. He says this. He says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and look at that final word, demonic. Demonic. Where there is demonic influence, there's an intruder who is trying to come in and to destroy. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's what takes place in churches. That's what divides the body of Christ, is demonic influences through a lack of wisdom. And James is saying, that's not from God. That is from man. It's earthly, if you will. Or, if you will, it means unspiritual. That's not spiritual at all. To allow that intruder, whether it's bitter jealousy or selfish ambition, that's an intruder in the heart. And it's offensive to God. And it needs to be rooted out of there. Not overlooked. Or not invited to be a playmate. Needs to be cleansed and gotten rid of. I wonder how many people that are assembled here today? In fact, I'm going to ask you, how many people here today would just let anybody at any time walk into your home if you know that they're going to do you or your family harm? Jerry, that's kind of a stupid question, isn't it? It would be for you? You know, you wouldn't let someone do that that you knew was going to do you or your family harm, would you? No. What would you do? Lock the door to keep them out? Or, as Jerry says, if they come in. And yet, why is it that we allow the intruder to come into our heart and into our life? That's just as wrong. And that's exactly what James is talking about. That earthly wisdom, that wisdom that is not from God and is not from above. You know, the type of wisdom that leads to humanism, that leads to secularism, that type of wisdom that makes you important in the eyes of the world but depreciated in the eyes of God. That kind of wisdom is an intruder. It needs to be driven out and taken care of. We wouldn't allow someone in our home like that. We shouldn't allow them in God's home. You mean the church building? You know something? Church building's not God's home. The heart is God's home. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? And you see, anything that comes in that is contrary to God's will is dirtying up the temple of God. It's an intruder. And it needs to be washed out, needs to be driven out, needs to be rooted out, needs to be surgically removed. However, it needs to be taken care of. Get rid of the intruder. Man's wisdom, folks, is an intruder. Man's wisdom is earthly, natural, and as James says at the very end, demonic. Seek the wisdom of God. Now, look, number four, at the instigators. Look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist. In other words, I've got to be the head honcho. I've got to be the big shot. I've got to be the one that controls that selfish ambition. All right? We need to set that aside. Or jealousy. Well, I do as much as so-and-so, and yet so-and-so gets all of this glory and that kind of thing. That's jealous ambition. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. These are instigators that lead to disorder and every type of evil thing in the heart. Now, that is the very essence of what took place with Satan. It really is. That jealousy, that pride, if you will, rose up in the heart of Satan. Remember, he was an angel of the Lord. He was an angel that was the most beautiful of all of the created angels. And he allowed something foreign to come into his life. And that was pride and selfish ambition. And that pride made him strut and make the determination that I'm going to throw God off the throne and I'm going to take over. That's pure evil. And that is the very essence of sin. All sin is rooted in pride. And in fact, pride is the very essence of sin. And so, if that's the type of thing that comes up, that's what instigates all of this other behavior that is immoral and wrong and destructive. And like we said, it needs to be rooted out and gotten rid of. Then there's a result that happens. Once that rooting out has taken place, I want you to notice then the increase that comes. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Then peaceable. You see, once the purity becomes a part of it, once the true wisdom from above is poured out on man, and he becomes pure in his heart, then there is put in there a peaceableness. That peaceableness is, and I'm not even sure that peaceableness is a word, but we're going to say it is. You understand what I mean. So, but that peaceableness that comes along means that we are released from the inner conflicts that take place. When we have the wisdom of God and we don't have the selfish ambition in us and we don't have the pride and the arrogance and those things have been rooted out and we have become humble before God, then we're not struggling within ourselves, seeking vainglory, seeking self and self-centeredness, but instead we become humble before God. And when we are humble, we are at peace because we're not warring in our inner being. And so that begins to increase. And then gentleness is then added into the equation. And reasonableness. And then we find ourselves full of mercy and producing good fruit, and we're unwavering. We're not going to be tossed back and forth. I'm going to tell you, I fear for the modern day church and the way that the modern day church is tossed back and forth, willing to follow any wind and wave of doctrine that comes along, and not adhering to biblical truth. That bothers me. And I see it all around me. People who are willing to compromise the truth of the Word of God in order to feel good. That's scary stuff. All right? But we'll be unwavering, wanting to honor God in every aspect of our life, wanting to be a good example, wanting to be a good witness, wanting to live a good testimony, and unshakable, unmovable in our heart, without hypocrisy, not double-minded, going all different directions. God becomes important to us. And in fact, He becomes the importance to us. Nothing else is going to detract us. And we grow and we increase in our wisdom and in our knowledge at that point. And then notice, finally, the inspiration that comes out of that. Verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The inspiration. We make peace with God. We make peace with our fellow believers. We make peace with what our position is in this world. We make peace with who we are that God has created us to be. And we stop the wrestling and the internal wrestling. Well, you know, if only I had been Elvis Presley. That kind of thing's gone. I thought about that one time. I remember being a young guy and thinking, man, if I was only Elvis Presley, I'd just have it made. And then he died. And I was able to step back and say, thank God I'm not Elvis Presley. But believe it or not, I came to the point where I was able to say, thank God I'm Len Surigliano. I am who God created me to be, and not somebody else. Not looking at everybody else's life and saying, boy, if I'd only had that opportunity. If only. If only is not the wisdom from above. If only sells you short as to who God created you to be. There is no one else on this world who can be the perfect you. Only you can. And you can only be perfect in the light of the Father. Seek the wisdom of God. Accept the wisdom of God. Expel the wisdom of the world. And rejoice in the person of Christ. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, this is not a what we call a normal closing hymn, but it's the hymn we're going to do. All right? Blessed be the name. Number 103. Blessed be the name. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die that He might man redeem. Blessed be His name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. His name shall be the Counselor, the mighty Prince of Power, or Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. That God, that Prince, loves us. That's incredible. And wants to pour in us His wisdom. The enemy wants to destroy the wisdom of God. Don't let it happen. Follow Christ. Love Him. Find peace in your innermost soul. Blessed be the name. Number 103. His name is to be blessed, to be honored, and to be held in high esteem. His principles are to be lived without question by His people. Where the Word of God points out our flaws, the Spirit of God can bring healing. Don't resist the healing. We're going to have a closing word of prayer. And I'll tell you, I want to remind you, there's a fellowship dinner right across the parking lot in the fellowship hall. You're welcome to go. And we're going to go ahead and have prayer for that so that as they're ready, you can just kind of start going through. And so let's go ahead and pray. And I trust that you'll bless the name of Jesus everywhere that you go. And even more importantly, that you'll bless the heart of his Father. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, fill us. Fill us to overflowing with your amazing grace. Lord, we ask that you would pour out upon us your wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, but your wisdom. Not the wisdom of our friends, but your wisdom. Not even the wisdom of ourselves, but your wisdom. Lord, pour out upon us everything that you are. Lord, we ask that any intruders in our lives might be rooted out, driven far away. And Lord, we would not be content to let them dwell in your house. So help us to be all that you want us to be. Now, Father, we pray for the time of fellowship and for the food. We thank you for the food. We thank you for all of those who have prepared it and for Joyce's class as they have launched out to do this. Now, Father, please, bless that time of fellowship with your presence, with your power, and we'll give you our thanks and praise. For it's in your awesome and pure and holy name we pray. Amen.